Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, April 26th, 2011, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. Our special guest this evening is Dr. Cynthia Andrews, whom you heard about on our show last week on Crop Circles with her husband, Colin. Cynthia is a naturopathic doctor, teacher, and author with a 30-year background in massage therapy and energy work, a Reiki master, yoga teacher, and speaker at local, national, and international forums. Her work as a teacher is focused on helping people develop and use their energy awareness. She'll be speaking at the Wake Up Now conference in Albuquerque, May 1st, on the embodiment of consciousness. Her websites are andrewshealingarts.com and thepathofenergy.com, and you will see those websites referenced in the comments section of our show page so that you can write them down or go there while we're talking. And we are so pleased to be able to introduce you to Cynthia's gifted work. And speaking of the conference in Albuquerque, we're going to have Nancy Wallace join us at the top of the show with some more information about that. And as you may know, Lavendar, myself, and Sierra will all be in attendance there representing Starseed Radio Academy and Starseed Hotline. We'd like to thank Sierra and Purple Sage for hosting the chat room and switchboard. If you have a comment or question, the call-in number is 917-889-8292. Then press 1 so we know you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. As always, we ask you to be brief, and tonight, please, only questions or comments on Cynthia's work. And our dear friend, Takeli, will be calling in also from Australia to talk about her Maui Light Activation Tour, which she'll be leading over Pleiadian lineup in Hawaii next month, May 12 through 20. And her website is takeli.com, and that is spelled takeli.com. And then towards the end of the show, I have a little piece for you called Prosperity Manifestation, giving you some exercises and tools that you can use to attract abundance into your life. Before we get started, I'd like to ask each and every one of you for your help. You know, we get a lot of wonderful emails from our listeners and members of our community wanting to know what they can do to help us. As you know, our motto is empowering starseed to better serve the planet. And one of the best ways we can do that is to increase our visibility. Last week, we had almost 1,500 people listening to our show, but so far only 260 have registered at Blog Talk Radio and clicked the word follow on our show page. If we could really increase our number of official followers, we'll have a better chance of increasing our visibility and being a featured show here. So please, register for free and click the word follow on our show page. The Starseed Radio Academy team is grateful for your help. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. That's starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. You may notice that the format of the show pages here on Blog Talk Radio has changed, and while there are some cool new features, it may take a little getting used to, and I still have more pictures to upload for each past show because I don't think we need to see my picture so shockingly huge for every episode. So we'll get started with Cynthia and Lavendar in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888 888-881-0881. We also want you to know that we have so many requests for our Starseed Confirmation Service, which we call a Stage 1 reading, that there could be up to a two-week wait. And do keep in mind that we will be gone Thursday through Tuesday, but we will have it waiting for us when we get back. And with a Stage 1 reading, you'll get your natal and progress charts and an MP3 of your reading pointing out and explaining your star markings if you have them. Our Stage 2 readings, which are a one-on-one phone consultation, do get priority and include the Starseed Confirmation. Both Lavendar and I are available for Starseed Confirmation and personal consultation. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so don't miss it. And now, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Lavendar.
Oh, hello, Arielle, and I'm so excited that we're all getting to go to the Wake Up Now conference in New Mexico. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you, Arielle. Haven't seen you since Arkansas, and we haven't met Sierra in person, so this will be really a new experience for all of us.
I'm really looking forward to it. And I know
is Nancy on the line yet?
Yes.
Can you check to see if she's... Because I wanted her to come on before we brought Cynthia on.
Yes, Nancy is with us. So shall we just get right to it?
Yes, let's just get to it.
Okay. Nancy, you are on the air. Hi.
Hi, everybody. So glad to be back on the air again. And I'm so glad you guys are coming. You just have no idea because I think it'd be such a great time meeting all of you. And I really can't wait. It should be a lot of fun. You know, the list of speakers is going to be amazingly, amazingly great. And Dr. Cynthia Andrews is one of the speakers, and then her husband, Colin, is going to be one of the speakers. And then we have Dolores Cannon going to be here, and we have Greg Bishop and Dr. Ken Johnston and Kiwoni and Mark Patterson and Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey and Norio Hayakawa, Richard Dolan, our thing is endless. Claude Swanson, Bill Murphy from the sci-fi station Fact or Fake. And then we have Arthur Fanning, who handles the Atlantean crystal. And then we have Alan Drobnik, who's going to be talking about the fluoride myth and how bad it really is for you. So it's a variety that I really don't think anybody wants to miss. And the best thing is that this is a one-of-a-kind conference because, one, it's the first time that the Albuquerque area has had a conference like this ever, and, two, because the main speakers have never been together before, other than Colin and his wife. You know? So
right.
It should be absolutely wonderful. And I really don't believe that they will all ever be together again. You know, so this is kind of like a one-of-a-kind conference, and it's to help build the school for all these children that are really not getting what they need in the school system today, especially the intuitive ones and the ones that they keep trying to put pills down their throat. So this is really, really important. And I made mention before that for all the listeners that are listening to your station right now, that there's a 2-for-1. The only thing I can't extend it all the way through to the time of the conference because then we won't know how many seats we need. So we're going to give you until midnight tomorrow night to get your 2-for-1 special. And if you don't get your 2-for-1 special, then at the door, it's going to be like $130 per person. So, you know, don't wait, don't hesitate because seats are selling. And we want to get everybody in there that we can because it's so, so important. You know, and if you want to meet your famed people that you're listening to right now, this is your chance to meet them face-to-face. And then Cliff asked me to say hi, so hi, Cliff. You know, stuff like that. So, I mean, it should just be a lot of fun. And then for people that are there that are not going to go back home right away, say on Monday, we have a place out here. It's called the Mystery Rock. And it's a 10-ton rock that has ancient writing on it, and they're still arguing about what kind it is, whether it's Hebrew or ET, they don't know. And so I'm going to take a little tour over there. So anybody who wants to go, it's free. It doesn't cost anything. And just to see it, I mean, it's amazing. So there's a lot of stuff going on down here. So I don't think any of your listeners want to miss out on this because they're going to be missing something really, really good. And we have about 60 vendors, if not more, right now. So, you know, it's endless, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, the best part is that it's going to be all our kind of people.
That's so, right.
Yeah. So tell us more about if someone wanted to take advantage of your two-for-one special, give us all the details on that.
Okay. All they have to do is go to wakeupnowconference.com and go to where it says registration. There's like a whole bunch of things. Just click on where it says registration, and there's going to be a form there. Do me a favor. Before you pay, fill out that form for me, because that's what gives me all the information to get your ticket. And then after you do that, you go back and you hit however you're going to pay. If you're going to pay through Visa, debit, whatever, just click on the button. It's going to take you right to PayPal. And all you do is fill in information with that and hit that button, and then I'll have everything. You know, that way we will have your tickets, and we'll hold them for you. There'll be a will call. So all you got to do is go to the will call table, so we don't have to worry about mailing them out or trying to send them an email, because some people, even though they get them, they can't open them sometimes. So we'll hold them for you. So, I mean, it's really very, very simple. And I do need the second person's name. So when you're filling out the form, there's a little special box. It'll say, like, special information. Just put that second person's name in there so I have them listed. Otherwise, they'll have to come find me and say, did you approve this? You know, so fill out the form for me first. Doesn't that make more sense, Lavender? And then hit the pay button, and then just hit submit, and I will get all the information, and we will be waiting for you guys, and we're going to have such a great time. And I really, really believe that there isn't anybody who's listening to you guys that's going to want to miss out on this conference, because, like I said, it is a one of its kind.
Are there any hotel rooms available, and can you tell us about some hotels that are available, like Days Inn or Howard Johnson's or whatever?
Yeah. On the website, there's also a little thing there that says convention and hotel. And when you click on that button, it's going to tell you about Motel 8, and it's going to tell you about Comfort Inn. I think it's Comfort Inn, or maybe the Days Inn. And then Holiday Inn Express are the three that I really got, you know, kind of a good rate for. There's also Motel 6 before those. And if you have an RV, there's also an RV park on there. And for the RV park, you can, you know, be there. And they actually give you free pancakes and coffee and tea every morning that you're there. And there is an outdoor pool, so you can actually go swimming just like in a hotel, except you're outside. And the shuttle for the casino goes to each of those hotels and an RV site that's listed on the website. So it's not like you have to drive back and forth, unless, of course, you want to. But we do have shuttle. And there is a train. It's called the Rail Runner. And you'd have to check the schedule according to where you're coming from. It goes from Santa Fe down to Berlin right now. And so if you're in the New Mexico area, listen to Lavendar. Just, you know, click on their schedule to find out what time the train runs. So there's a lot of ways to get there. There's a lot of hotels. There's a very expensive hotel. I don't know if they have any rooms. It's a Hyatt, and it sits kind of way back in the back. It's pretty. So, I mean, there's all kinds of hotels, but the three that I named first are the ones that are on the website, and all the information that you need for those hotels, their phone numbers, their address, is all on the website too. So it's kind of like everything is on the website that you would need. And if you still have a question, you can call me. It's okay. I'm going to give you my landline. It is 630-941-6816. And again, don't miss out on this, because it is a one of a kind. We have some fabulous, fabulous speakers. Plus, we're going to have you guys there. You know, Lavendar and your team, basically. So don't miss out on this one.
Okay. Well, Ariel, okay, what I'd like to do for Nancy now and for our group is conduct a little Emerald Ray and send it to Nancy, because we want to give her the energy and support from our radio show. So would you conduct that for us, please?
Okay. We're just going to have a 10 or 15 seconds of silence, and during that time, just imagine the most gorgeous shade of emerald light coming from your third eye and surrounding Nancy in New Mexico. Okay, ready? Take a deep breath. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for the emerald ray to Nancy.
And I thank you. I feel that energy.
I'm sure you need it, all those last-minute stuff going on, I'm sure. I did want to just clarify, when you fill out the form for registration before you pay and you get to that special instructions box, that's where you put the second person's name and also the word, like, Lavendar Special, so that Nancy knows that you're one of our group and our forum, because the two-for-one is just for us. So that would be $50 a person for 3 days' worth of high, high excitement and wonderful speakers. So I just wanted to make sure you put that in there in the special instructions box before you hit submit. Okay.
Great.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so very much. Can't wait to see you.
Okay, bye.
It'll be great. Okay. Thanks, Nancy. See
Thanks.
You soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Well, we have Cynthia waiting in the wings.
Okay, let's bring her on.
Hello, Cynthia. You're on the air with Lavendar.
Well, hello, Lavendar. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you tonight.
Well, it's just, it's timely because you're on your way to New Mexico, and we've been talking about the Wake Up Now conference, and to have you on tonight is just part of our timing. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about your early childhood and when you started developing your senses of just knowing things. Would you give us a little insight to you about that, and then we'll talk about your book and what's coming up for you.
Oh, absolutely, happily. You know, Lavendar, I think like a lot of people, as a very young child, I knew that things were different than what I was being told. And I could feel that there was something underneath reality that had no expression, and certainly there was no teaching about it anywhere. When I was a teenager, my parents were very open-minded people. My father was a doctor. My mom did taxes. And they used to be very involved in Edgar Cayce, and they had a lot of books around. And I think I was about 12 when I first read Edgar Cayce's book on auras. And then I spent a lot of years crossing my eyes and trying to see auras and making people think I was very, very strange, which is probably true. But I actually first felt an aura when I was petting my cat, and I was just petting her, and as my hand was coming down to her body, I started realizing that I felt something prior to actually touching her. And as I explored that, she began to respond to it and roll over and open up her legs and enjoy being touched, although I wasn't touching her. And so I really understood then that this energy, this aura was something that we were wired and programmed and capable of sensing and feeling with all parts of our system. So that really was when I began to explore energy in a much more meaningful way for me. And then I think, you know, I have to tell you that the most amazing experiences with energy have all happened since I met my husband, Colin, who you spoke with last week on the crop circles, and together he and I have explored this world in some pretty remarkable ways, which I would be happy to share with you if you're interested.
Things so, that you're doing with him, and then they'll talk about your book, but go ahead and talk about your times with Colin.
Well, it was very interesting. My mom and dad had been in correspondence with him for many years before I met him, and he came out in 1991 to a conference here in Connecticut. It was his second time in America. He was talking on the crop circles, and I was sitting in the audience listening to him. And as I listened, he put a slide on the screen of a crop circle underneath a white horse, and he played a sound that they had recorded in that circle. It was a special sound that had only come through on the equipment. Nobody had heard it. And as he played it, my body had a very instant recognition of it, and I immediately felt myself in the middle of that crop circle. It was a bilocation experience, and I was standing in the middle of that crop circle, and as the sound, which was a two-tone sound, as it went back and forth, my aura expanded out to the edge of the circle and then into the middle and then out to the edge and then into the middle. And I understood that these crop circles were energy modulators and that they were here helping in some way to shift our energy, to shift the planet's energy. And I fully accept that people are involved in making these, but I do believe that people are also involved in the changing consciousness on the planet. So it isn't a problem for me that those two things exist together. So obviously I wanted to meet Colin. And after the lecture, I also wanted to hear the next speaker, who was talking about children's experiences. And my eldest daughter was having a number of experiences at that time. So I wanted to stay and listen to the next speaker, but at the same time, I wanted to go and meet Colin. And I stood up, sat down, until I literally could not sit in my seat and was propelled out into the hallway, where he was surrounded by about 60 people all throwing questions at him. And I could see that his energy was being drained and that he had very little left to give. So I kind of scooted around behind the crowd to stand next to him and just hold the space with him so that he could, you know, do what he needed to do, but have the energy reserves to do that. And that was kind of how we met. And since then, it's been pretty much like that. We augment each other and do the same work in very different ways.
Well, I think that the two of you make a really great couple, and you know, you hold down a special field for him, and I know that he holds one for you, and mm-hmm. both of you have, you know, different things that you lecture on, and that's part of the balancing beam, and I mm-hmm. really congratulate you for that. So I think I want to talk a little bit about your book, The Path of Energy, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. in the process of being published. Is that correct?
Yes, it will be out on June 11th. It is being published by New Page Books, part of Career Press.
Okay. What's the book about, and why is it different from other books on the subject?
The book is really about energy awareness, and basically from my perspective, as I said a moment ago, everybody is really pre-wired for this experience, and everybody has it innately within them, and mostly judges the world on the basis of this information that they get through their energy awareness. But because we typically don't pay attention to the subtleties of it, we're not really aware of what we're doing. And so the book is really just helping people remember how to use their energy body, how to expand their consciousness using their energy body. I think the way in which it's most different from other books is really the fact that it's based on 13 meditations that are very similar, really, to the ray of Emerald that Ariel just sent out. But these were meditations that were, I hate to use the word given to me, so I'm going to say inspired, that I was inspired with over the past 30 years and have used in different situations in my life and have helped me in my life, and so I'm putting them out and sharing them with other people.
You talk a little bit about how they're dimensionally wired, these expansions of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we as humans have an energy structure, and that energy structure basically has three primary components, although I'm sure there are more. These are just constructs, and constructs change with information. What constructs can do is allow us to organize information that's coming in so that we can recognize patterns. But if a construct is too rigid and doesn't change, then evolution doesn't occur. So I'm not saying that this is hard and you know, end all truth. It's just what I understand right now. And with these three structures of the aura, the chakras, and the meridians, we interact with the energy realms. And the aura itself, according to the Hindu construct, which is the one I primarily use, has seven layers to it, and each of those layers connects to a specific dimension of reality. So as we begin to come into resonance with our chakras, and you know, which receive a different aspect of the aura, we come into an awareness of these different dimensions. And I believe that the challenge of this time is to be able to become fully aware and functional in each of these dimensions, and to be able to move in and out of them at will, so that we're living multidimensionally.
As I was reading this one chapter that you sent me to look at, I've got to tell you, I just really kind of set up and went, whoa. Why? Because you start talking about the pineal gland, and I don't know whether you knew it or not, but I was born with a double pineal.
Oh, you're kidding.
I live in one, and they come and go through the other.
I had no idea that was even physically possible. How amazing.
So, yeah, when I found out, they thought it was a tumor, and they wanted to operate.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, give us a little, start at the beginning about the pineal, and just take us on a little journey describing the pineal and the pineal crystals and the pineal activation. I think that our listeners would really love to hear about this.
Okay. So basically the pineal gland is a very small gland in your head, about at the base of your nose, maybe right in the dead center of the brain. It's about the size of a grain of rice, and it looks like a pine cone. If you look around at ancient drawings, you'll see pine cones represented everywhere, and there's a lot of thinking that is representative of the pineal gland. It has been thought since in many different traditions to be associated with psychic abilities, with spiritual connection, with expansions of consciousness. And originally medicine thought that it was a non-functioning vestigial remnant of a third eye that we actually had. Now certainly we understand that it produces melatonin and that it's very regulatory for all of the cycles in the body. In addition to that, it also produces a molecule called DMT, which is associated with out-of-body experiences and different kind of paranormal experiences that people have. So the pineal gland basically takes light in and then transforms that light into a hormone signal that goes through the body. It's very responsive to magnetic fields. It can be disrupted by artificial lights. It can be disrupted by magnetic fields. About 30 years ago, science started finding a crystal that was growing within the pineal gland, in the tissue of the pineal gland. There are crystals throughout the body that are non-pathologic. They're usually hydroxyapatite, such as the calcium phosphate that forms our bones. We have crystals in our ear that are part of our hearing apparatus. But these were different crystals. They were calcium crystals, and typically calcite crystals in the body are pathological, and yet these didn't seem to be. Originally, when they first started looking at them, the studies that were put out in the Journal of Neural Transmission thought that they represented an inability of the body to break down the calcium. And subsequent studies in Italy supported that and seemed to think that it happened more in women than in men, which was not an unreasonable thing. If you think about the last 30 years, women have been absolutely inundated with large amounts of calcium, much larger amounts of calcium than their bodies can actually handle. But in order to prevent osteoporosis, that's what doctors were telling people to do. And at the same time, we were being told not to go out in the sun or to wear sunscreen, which meant that we were deprived of the primary vitamin that absorbs calcium and brings it into the system, which is vitamin D. So currently we have the biggest depletion of vitamin D that we've ever seen on the planet, and this extra calcium in the system. So it's not unreasonable to actually think that it could be a calcium problem, metabolism problem. But in 2002, an Israeli study looked at it, and what they found that was that these crystals were actually biologically significant and that they had non-thermal interactions with external electromagnetic fields. So that's kind of an interesting thing. It seems that they may be interacting with different electromagnetic frequencies. These are also being found in plants, and a Ukraine study that has looked at these calcite crystals in plants has found that they can stimulate the generation of them by putting the plants inside of weak electromagnetic fields. So for me, as a naturopathic doctor, the first thing I think about, well, is this electromagnetic pollution, is this cell phones, is this Wi-Fi overhead power cables, is this a result of that? And maybe, you know, that's very, very possible that it is. There are many people out there who believe that this is part of receiving a new transmission on the planet. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that it's not true. I do think that the pineal gland is absolutely central to what it is that's happening right now on the planet with the shifting of people's awareness and shifting of consciousness. And so I think that activating and working with the pineal gland, whether these crystals are part of it or not, is a exciting thing to be doing right now. And I encourage people to do so. There is a group called, lightworkers.org is one place you can go for information on that. And Colleen Behan at the Wellness Studio in Wallingford, Connecticut, also does a lot of trainings. She can be found, I have her email here somewhere. I'll have to come up with that for you before the end of the night.
I saw it earlier. It's a Spirit of Light.
That's it.
Spiritoflight.org.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. So, tell us a little bit what you know about the piezoelectric functions that happen mm-hmm. with the pineal.
Well, the crystals themselves are piezoelectric, which means that when you put them under pressure, they'll release electricity.
Right.
And so all the crystals in the body, or all crystals in general, have that capacity. So it's why quartz crystals, for example, are useful in technology, because they will release energy at a given rate under certain pressures. And that's really how it's thought that these might be working, is that as light hits them and creates a change, that it releases pulses of energy into the physical body. And people are experiencing in this time, as I'm sure you're aware, quite a lot of changes, a lot of physical and psycho-spiritual and energetic changes that people are feeling right now. So it's possible that that's where it's coming from.
No, we've been talking for some time now on our radio show about the need for silica, because the silica in our brains has been, tampered with electromagnetic pollution and cell phone tower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Et cetera, make a list. And so we've been really encouraging our listeners to, up their intake of silica. I have a lot of emails back and forth that let me know that once they start their silica, they seem to have more stamina. They have greater concentration. People are coming out of depression by simply just taking silica. So I didn't know if you had heard about this increase in silica. I haven't talked to you about it before. Do you have any insight on silica with the pineal?
That's really interesting. And no, I actually have no information on it, but I do know that silica is one of the depleted minerals in the soil. And so the food that we're eating that we would normally get silica from, you're not going to have as high concentrations of it. So it would make sense to me that we are deficient in it. And I have not heard that. I'm going to go try and take some silica, see if it changes things for me.
I keep a little bottle, my computer where I work, and, put those little tablets and let those dissolve. And then, of course, I can just eat so many strawberries. They're high in silica, but, three times a week's about my limit, and an oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And but I noticed that they, manufacture so many oatmeals now, they're not the pure thing anymore. So
that's very true.
So we have to help our system by, introducing these homeopathic remedies and other ways, but I just wanted to bring that up because I know it's part of what's happening with us now. You know, if we have clarity about anything, we can pretty well make wise decisions. But when we're not clear, when we're, we wake up and we're fuzzy-headed and we just can't seem to get it going, you know, we need all the help that we can get.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to mention that.
Absolutely.
In this chapter, you talk about the signs and symptoms of change. And I was looking at one of the things that said the physical indicators. I just wanted to read it. It says physical signs and symptoms happen through an excess amount of energy that either overwhelms the body or causes it to burn out, like restless legs, tingling, trembling, shaking, vibrating sensation, body jolts, roving twitches, memory changes, brain fog, memory loss, headaches, waking up between 3 and 5, receiving downloads of information, weight gain, weight loss, extreme fatigue and heightened levels of energy, hot and cold flashes, hearing voices, sounds in the ear, clicking, high-pitched frequencies, Cliff, if you're listening, clicking, okay, confusion, not knowing where you are in space, sensations of pressure and heat racing through your body, seeing light flashes, seeing shadowy shapes out of the corner of your eyes, oh yeah, seeing auras and color around people, multiple chemical sensitivities, vivid dreaming, temporal spatial disorientation. Okay, that I am getting just tons of information from my clients that they have these symptoms.
Absolutely. It is so, this is really what started me thinking about this, is that so many of my patients and energy clients were coming in with these symptoms, and when I went in and felt in their body, I could feel kundalini changes happening, and I could feel that there were these places where the body was not being able to take in the energy, and so I started cataloging them, and then lo and behold, started finding other people who were cataloging them as well and realizing that this is something being noticed in a large scale by a lot of people.
Do you have a lot of people that say they can't go to sleep till 3 or 4 in the morning?
Most of the people I talk to either can't get to sleep until early hours of the morning or absolutely at the strike of 3 wake up and they're awake until 5, absolutely every night. And you know, so what I've tried to help them with is instead of lying there thinking about how you have to work in the morning and you're not getting enough sleep, is to try and meditate during that time and be aware of the information that you're receiving and be aware of what it is that's happening in that two-hour time period as opposed to resisting it, because it's in the resistance that we have the negative of it. It's not in the happening of it. And, you know, like I think it was the Buddha who once said that all suffering comes from resistance to what is. If you can stop resisting it, actually, you find that when you fall asleep at 5 and your alarm rings at 6:15, you're absolutely raring to go.
I saw this list and went, wow, is this right on or what? I'm also looking at the chapter on interpersonal dynamics and the changes that happen in your personal relationships. Can you give us a little insight to what you've been seeing with your clients and what people can read this book?
Yeah, actually, I'll share with you a little bit. I hope my husband isn't listening right now. I'll share a little bit with my things with my husband and I. When we first met, one of the things that happened between us is that all of our chakras, we were standing facing each other and we had maybe spent 6 hours in each other's company, and all of our chakras lined up and connected together, and they popped. As each one connected, there was a pop, 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 and there was a streaming between us, and we started to vibrate in sync with each other. It was as if we had always had this connection, and no matter how far apart we were, it had just stretched, but it had always been there, and now it was kind of locking into place. And what we have found as things have gone on, and as difficulties happen, or as the stresses of life happen, is that in this particular time period, those bonds have gotten absolutely stronger to the point of where if one of us goes through a shift, the other person can be across the globe and feel it and immediately pick up the phone and say, hey, what's going on? And that ability to feel what the other person is feeling as if you have the same nerve endings is happening to people all over the place. It's becoming so common. The other common things, of course, are the phone rings and you know immediately who's on it, or you go to turn the corner and the person that you haven't seen in 20 years but you were just thinking about is standing in front of you. It's just happening over and over and over again to everybody, and it's kind of exciting.
Can you talk a little bit about when you start getting polarized with family members that have these deep-seated beliefs
mm-hmm.
that surfacing and
mm-hmm.
they can start creating friction?
Mm-hmm. Well, as this energy is coming into our bodies and as Kundalini is rising through the chakra system, all of the unresolved issues in the chakras are literally being vibrated into awakeness, so that rather than being able to go through life suppressing them and hiding them and having them unconsciously direct our choices, we're becoming very conscious of them and how they consciously direct our choices. The upside of that is that when you're conscious of something, you can change it. The downside of that is that every issue you've ever had is on the table. And particularly, it seems that with people who you have a lot of really deep-seated, unresolved issues with, you're going to be polarized with them. And it's like you walk in the room and immediately, whether it's politics that sets you off or finances or religion or whatever it is that sets you off, you're going to find yourself pushing each other to the extremes of your own belief system. And I think that it's a really good thing. Again, it allows you to clear it, and it allows you to see your own issues much more clearly when they're polarized within you than if they weren't. So it does serve a purpose, but it's not an easy or fun situation to be going through at this time.
Well, I just think of it as, just another journey to get to the end game of where we're going, facing the planet and its people, preparing the way for the new kids on the planet, because, the new
mm-hmm.
kids, those are the ones. The indigos, the crystal children, the children that have been born, in the last 20 or 30 years, and the ones that are being born now, those are the ones that are, going to be able to take up this cause of keeping our planet balanced. And I feel like that we have so many of them awake now. It's surprising to see how many people are awake and
mm-hmm.
working in the environment and coming up with
mm-hmm.
alternative medicines and the Tesla kids
mm-hmm.
that I have been working with over the years, it's like, wow. There's so much to say about the goodness that's happening on the planet.
Absolutely.
Instead of, the focusing on, everything that's wrong, I'd like to start
Agreed.
Thinking about all the things that are right.
It's like when we see something wrong, it's a challenge to see within ourselves what holds that in place and to shift it. It's if the tenet of every single religion is the same, to love each other as ourselves, then our job has to be to reduce the resistance within to loving. What other job is there? So every time you come to a place where your response is not love, why? And if we all do that, then there are no problems in the world, right?
Yeah, true. I read a statement and I underlined it and I wanted you to comment on it. It says, what is meant by spiritualizing matter is the raising frequency such that matter loses its hold on our consciousness and we are free to come and go at will.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of talk about spiritualizing matter and ascension and things. And for me, matter is spiritualized. Spirit lives in matter. Matter is a spiritual substance. Einstein's equation, E equals mc squared, it's all the same stuff, just vibrating at a different rate. The problem is that when we came into this dimension of reality, we became so identified with matter that we became unable to leave at will and to travel amongst these other dimensions. And I do think that is the shift underway. And what's meant then by spiritualizing matter is coming into the awareness of it as a spiritual substance so that we're free of it and it no longer becomes a trap or a prison or, all the different bad ways that we think of matter. It's really an anchor. It's a way for us to experience reality in a different and extraordinary way than just through the other spiritual bodies that we have. So deciding that we're going to ascend out of it or that it has no function or purpose, I think is just a reaction to how difficult it's been to be trapped.
Right.
Okay.
To change the subject a little, let's talk a little bit about December 20th, 2012. You know, I talked to
mm-hmm.
my clients and my listeners about the sun's going to be at 26 degrees of Sagittarius
mm-hmm.
At that time. And, of course, that is part of the Mayan calendar
mm-hmm.
cutoff date. Give us your insight and what you've come to know about this particular date.
You know, it's always a hard one. I do think that something very special is happening. I think it's been happening over the last 30 years. I think it's going to continue to happen into the next 30 years. For me, singling it out as that day just really is the apex of the experience. It's the moment where, you know, did you ever, when you were young, did you ever have that game, the game of life, which was all of these wheels that would turn and you could only get through when the wheels lined up in a certain way? It's like that. It's like all of these planets come into alignment, and so energy is allowed to flow from one to the next and awaken within us this awareness of the holography of reality, that we are all not just a part of the whole, but we are all the whole. We are the whole. And I believe that is what is happening, and that's the apex of that awareness coming in. But I don't think that we're going to just suddenly, the world is going to be different on that day, or all the problems are going to be over, or anything else. I think it is a progression like all things.
I agree with that, too. I also
mm-hmm.
feel like that because it marks a time from my way of tracking some of the experiments that have been laid down on the planet by other species. It was they used that date because it lined up with the frequencies that they were using either for their experiments or with
mm-hmm.
their astrological timings. I think it's
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, one day I took a look at it and it was so over my head. I said, how in the world am I ever going to explain this to anyone? It was like, whoa, it took me way too far. But I think it's a place and time for us to at least be aware that something of great significance is going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying to my radio listeners and to my clients that I really do believe that we will have a form of disclosure. Now, whether it is the
mm-hmm.
ETs coming and, you know, presenting themselves, or whether it's the government, whatever it
mm-hmm.
is,
yep.
I feel like that it's based on two things. It's based on sequence of events
mm-hmm.
and then the consequences of those events.
Absolutely.
It's not a date. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a combination of, you know, how they're making the soup. It's like which ingredient
yeah.
goes in and what happens now, and it's that's why it's so very, very hard to pinpoint any dates exactly,
right.
because
it's
so much that has to be calculated in frequencies and experiments and
mm-hmm.
and consciousness. And, you know, now that we have the technologies like HARP that want to come
mm-hmm.
in and up everything, it's
mm-hmm.
like, okay, throw away your map. You got to start with a new map.
mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all about the coming together of different things, the synchronization of things. And so, you know, timing is almost impossible because you don't know how long each one of those different individual things is going to take before it comes into the whole, if that makes any sense. you know, it's interesting that you should talk about disclosure. I do think that that's happening, and I don't know that it's going to be the government. I think it's going to come from the people. I think people are demanding a transparency, and I think that when each one of us, it's like, I never used to talk about these experiences that my husband and I have or that I had as a child or anything, and we're being challenged at this point for each of us to bring forward what we have and put it into the puzzle so that all the pieces are present. And when all the pieces are present, that is the disclosure. And one of the pieces will come from the government, and a lot of the pieces are coming from us.
Well, and I think that this will happen between now and 2012. If there was ever a big event that would happen on the planet, it would be the total awareness that we have been part of a gigantic extraterrestrial experiment, or we've been part of another team from other places for a long, I mean, the whole thing, I think, will just be catapulting one after another. Once the dominoes start falling, you know, start falling.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you won't be able to hold up the structure anymore. So it will be seen
structure.
For what it is. Yeah.
Structure, yeah. So, okay, back to this book. What do you want people to gain when they, you know, what is it you'd like for them to walk away with after they get your book?
I hope that they have some techniques that will help them to access their energy awareness more. I hope that they will have a frame of reference so that they, as these experiences happen, they don't think that they're going crazy, because a lot of people do when things begin to shift. I mean, it's temporal spatial disorientation doesn't sound like a whole lot until you're driving down the road and you've driven down that road every day for 30 years and you don't know where you are or where you're supposed to turn or what time of day it is. You know, when those things start happening to you and you start to feel like you're going crazy, it's not an easy thing. So I hope that people get validation for the changes that are going on for them. And mostly I hope that they get a real sense that within themselves they have everything they need. They don't need anything else. They don't need my meditations. They don't need my suggestions for how to manifest or how to heal or how to do these things. That inside of themselves is everything. All they need to do is, there's no owner's manual, so I'm not going to give that to them. It's just going inside, feeling it, validating it, paying attention to it, and letting it teach them what it is that they really already know. That's what I want.
You know, sometimes in my sessions, I find people that, you know, have mastered so many things in other lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And I just tell them, let's dig deep, bring up those masterships now, and go forward with, if you've done them in past lives, don't you think you could do them again? You know, it's like, oh, they never thought of that. And it's like, stand deep for your answers, because you have every one of them. Every
Absolutely.
One of them. You just have to know it, trust it, and, you know, and allow yourself to get rid of the blockages or the program placed in you by other people, and just, you know, get on that horse and ride, is what I say.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, that brings up an important point that we sort of touched on a little bit earlier as well. You know, first of all, I do want to say that we've gone through this whole list of physical indicators and different things, and it's important to remember that whenever there's an energetic thing that happens, it lands in the physical body, and you need to attend to it physically. So never, you know, always make sure that you're getting the medical care that you need, and whatever way that you receive medical care, rather than just assuming that it's an energy experience. If it's in your physical body, it's both. Secondly, you know, you talk about everything that you need is there, and accessing these things from past lives and those things having been disrupted. And one of the main ways that these things are disrupted so that we don't have the clear insight and the clear information to make our decisions is through toxins in the system. And we are inundated every single day, whether we're talking about heavy metals, organophosphate poisoning, bisphenol A from plastics, or whether we're talking about cell towers and Wi-Fi and electromagnetic pulses and HARP, every single day we're inundated with a toxic load that our body has to try and clear before we can receive the energetic information that we're receiving. And people's livers are so stressed with having to do this right now that absolutely it's important to make sure that you are clear of toxins, to make sure you give your body every single thing that it needs to stay healthy, and that's the job for right now, is getting clean and getting healthy. And if you do that, everything else will come naturally.
Yeah, Elva talks to us about that, especially getting rid of parasites and candida, and, you know, just absolutely keeping your blood going in a rhythmic motion. Yeah, she comes on several times on our programs and talks to us about the different things that we need. But you're right, the toxins, we're at, you know, how many times a day with
Absolutely.
A toxin? I mean, I used to walk into the grocery store and pick up a box or a can, and I'd start reading it. And then when I got to something I couldn't pronounce, I just put it down. If I can't pronounce it, I don't need it.
That's absolutely good. My standard is if my grandmother couldn't have had it, then there's no reason why I should have it.
That's good. Well, Ariel, are you there?
I sure am.
Do you want to ask Cynthia anything before we open up the telephone lines?
Well, I had a question quite some time ago, but I was gonna wait, and now I can't remember. So I guess I have some of those problems you were talking about. Yeah, I mean, when you were going down the whole list of, I was like, yeah, got that.
Mm-hmm.
that. I was like, okay. When we meet in Albuquerque, I'm gonna have to pull you aside and tell
okay.
you about it. But now let's go ahead and open up the lines because we do have a lot of callers tonight, and we have to kind of keep an eye on the time because I know that we've got some other. Kaylee's going to talk about her Maui Light Activation Tour on Pleiadian lineup, and we do want to get to as many questions and comments as we can. So, shall we just get to it here? Let me. Okay, we're going to talk to Christina from California. She has a question about your book. Hello, Christina. You are on the air with Dr. Cynthia.
Hi, this is Christina.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Pleasure.
I wanted to first thank you for sharing all this information. I, as a person whose consciousness has been really expanding over the past 3 years, this information is very gives me a lot of validation, and thus I feel very supported. And would love to know, where could I get your book when it does come out? I don't know if you said it's coming out soon or if it's just recently out. Would I be able to Google that?
Yes, it'll be out on June 11th, and you can get it on Amazon. You can pre-order it right now on Amazon.com.
That is wonderful. I had a question about physical ailments. I've been I feel deeply that there's a when you have a physical ailment that it can be something that's also intertwined with maybe an energy attachment of some sort, or
absolutely
maybe if you have a blockage. I know for me, I need to get out of my head and come from my heart. And I kind of feel like I don't know. So much is happening with me, and I'm just realizing that I really believe physical ailments have a lot to do with attachments. What are your feelings on that?
Yeah, it is interesting. I do have a chapter in the book on energy protection, and it does talk about attachments. And you know, it's important to realize that nothing can attach to us unless we have a receptor site for it. And those receptor sites are places in our field that vibrate with fear or any emotion that we haven't integrated. There are no emotions that are bad. All emotions give us good information, and all emotions are functional. But when we don't integrate them, then and we push them outside of ourselves, then they become these little places of vibration that allow other things to attach to us. And when something does attach to one of these vibrating receptor sites, then it begins to feed you with whatever it was that you haven't integrated, so that becomes all that you see, and you begin to draw situations towards you that reinforce it and reinforce it and reinforce it. And so the best thing to do is to clear your inner energy field and find these places of vibration. And in my book, I do give you exercises for doing that. And eliminating them and working on your own emotional integration and the issues in your life that you need to heal.
Well, this sounds to me personally like a must-have book.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Because I'm sitting here shaking my head and in awe of what I'm hearing, and also of how Spirit leads me to shows that I really do need to be listening to. And I really resonate. And I have a question about what's been happening with me is when I do grounding, centering, and shielding in the evening, I do it in the morning as well and sometimes during the day, but when my children are asleep, and I have them do it as well, they're 8 and 4, I kind of do an extra, I envision the white light coming from my hands. I put them together, and at first they were just together, and after about a month, I started to put them in a way where it almost forms a triangle between my thumbs and my first fingers.
Oh, that's so funny, yes.
And then all of a sudden, it's been 2 months, and something's happening, and I feel like it might be a muscle that's starting to grow energetically and that I'm connecting with Source, and I wanted to ask your opinion on this. I have a vibration that will instantaneously begin to hum and vibrate in my hands every time I put them together and envision the white light going over the bed and just asking all energies to please respect my children's sleep and space. And I invoke my archangels around me. And it's amazing. Is that just, do you think that that is a muscle that's starting to grow within me and I'm starting to connect more? Because I really didn't expect that. It's a wonderful thing that's happening.
I think that you are following your intuitive guidance 100% perfectly. I think that you are listening to how you need to develop yourself and change your awareness. Absolutely right on. And I also, my first experience in working with directing energy came from creating that triangle. And it is part of one of the meditations in the book works with that triangle. So that's cool validation
for
me. So thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for that. It's amazing what I'm hearing, and I cannot wait to read this. June 11th cannot come soon enough for me. But thank you for sharing this and sharing what your journey's been like and through your perspective. And it just totally resonates with me 100%. And
well, thank you very much.
Know me. I'm just giving you a big hug through the phone, and I'm a little hyper as it is. I don't need caffeine.
Well, I'll hug you back and wish you and your family well.
Many blessings. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I just wish you much happiness and love in your life, and really look forward to what's going to come next with what you share, because it really is so supportive and validating, and
thank
then as
you.
A result, I have healing. So thank you. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Many
Thanks
blessings.
For calling. Thanks for calling
thank
in, Christina.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was amazing.
That was amazing.
Your book is almost like, seems like it's going to fit her like a glove.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was lovely
already,
for me to hear. Cause,
yeah.
You know, whenever you write a book, you get all of your insecurities come up and all of, oh, people are going to think I'm crazy. They're going to, you know, this and that and the other thing. So that was a lovely validation for me, and I thank Christine very much.
Yes, you know, we had Richard Dolan some time back on our show, and he made a comment that when you write a book, it's like a child, and as soon as it's published, it's out of your hands.
It's on its own.
You have to sit back and just watch it grow and develop and, you know, interact with people, and I think you're going to be quite pleased with this offspring of yours. So,
well, if that's any indication, yes.
Yeah. Okay, we do have a lot of callers. Some have other questions that are not on topic, so we're going to hang on. We do have Tekaylee with us, and we're going to bring her on after a bit to talk about her tour. I'm going to check in with the chat room to see if we have questions there. Hello, Sierra.
Hello, good day, all. Okay, we do have about 3 or 4 questions, so let's just get started on these.
Have I gotten cut
right
off?
Now.
She's
scanning. Because the chat room has pages and pages and pages, and she's scanning for her questions.
I got it.
I hope, Sierra, are you still there? Oh, you know what? Her mic just, Sierra, your mic just turned itself off. So if you were talking, you're going to have to start over again. Don't ask me how. Don't ask me how. You were there and then you were shut off, and I didn't do it. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So there was a comment made earlier about not needing any guidance in connecting to your own higher self.
Mm-hmm.
How did one do that? Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you. Well, you know, that is the whole thing. It's all inside of us, and yet we have become so, it's become so hard to access because of the culturalization we go through, because of the voices in our head from our parents and families and teachers and whatever. So really, that's a lot of what this book does, is give just basic meditations that you can do to begin to access those awarenesses. One of the ways that our body speaks to us, I mean, our body is speaking to us all the time about what it's deciphering energetically, and it comes through our body sensations. It comes through emotions. Emotions are translations of energy. Emotions are our most direct experience of the energetic situation. If you think about metaphors, when you say you have you're tied to somebody, it's not only talking about a bond that you feel, it's talking about an energetic connection as well. Energy and emotions are very linked, and so basically what the book does is take you through and show you all the different ways that your body is speaking to you so that you can begin to decipher that, and then once you decipher it, interacting with it is much easier.
Great, thank you very much. And
yeah, you're welcome.
And then again, just to tell the listeners, reference the book at what she put on in there. So the next question is from another listener is, will you please comment more on the bands of photon energy that is flowing to the Earth from the galactic core?
Yeah, you know, I can't say a whole lot about that. What I can say is that according to the different Mayan elders like Don Alejandro and Carlos Berrios and Hun Batzmen, and I would recommend that people go on their websites and get it from them directly. I believe that the indigenous people are the people who have the core of this right now, and we should be speaking with them directly. But according to these people, at the end of this 26,000-year cycle that we're coming up to in 2012, we will be in an alignment where the spiritual center of this galaxy, which is called Hunab-Ku, will be able to connect with us directly, and so we will have this increased in higher frequency. I don't know that I can say much about whether they are photons or not photons, although everything is light, so since photon is the smallest unit of light, I guess that makes sense. But that's what I know about it.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then the next question is, I'm going to say this in the first person because it's going to be easiest to capture it that way, is how can I contribute other than pouring out love energy for Mother Earth? How can I help our planet to heal when I dream of the coming doom? How can I balance mm-hmm. these entities that come to me during my sleep, these visions, mm-hmm. these things that come?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are three stages to manifestation. The first is, you know, having the vision, having the intent, and then putting the energy into that intent, so energizing it, and we energize it with our emotions, and then action. And I think what happens to a lot of us is that we do the first two really well, and then the action step we just get stuck on. And sometimes I think we get stuck on that action step partly, as I said before, because our systems are so toxic that the action step is actually harder for us to do. But I think you have to look around and you have to see every single place where you can make a positive difference in the world, whether it's just being nice to the person, you know, in front of you at the grocery store, like every single place that you can choose to be loving over not loving. That's the job. Look for where you can have action in the world.
Very well said. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, there are no other questions from the chat room.
Great.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Sierra. We will be checking back with you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, we have another caller in the screening room that we're going to bring on as soon as mm-hmm. she's out. Lavendar, do you have a comment in the interim?
Well, I just think that we're really right on topic. It seems like that the timing of Cynthia being on our show is just, you know, so timely for those of us that have been working here for many, many, many years, and for those new ones that have just just been awakened. I think that the timing of her message is critical to all of us to pay attention to, you know, the energies around us. And I do think that action, you know, you can say a lot of things, but action is really where it's at. By putting your love energy into action, making wise decisions to go forward, just taking that next step. And sometimes you don't know where the next step is taking you, but you just got to trust that you're just going to keep moving forward.
You know, that really ties in with the piece that it's coming up later in the show about manifestation. And yes, you do have the decision to manifest something, and then you put your intent into it. You align you go to the frequency of vibration of having it, and then if I correct me if I'm wrong, the action is not necessarily that you have to go do something to make it happen, because you've already done that with the vibratory creation of that. Mm-hmm. But the action would be in watching your words and language that you don't cancel.
Well, yeah, and I think also looking at where it's manifesting and moving in the direction of where it's manifesting, as opposed to following your habits. And so the action for that might simply be to continue to look for and move in the direction of it as a manifestation. But to sit and wait for it to come isn't going to work.
Right, right. Well, there is something to be said for allowing, but I understand what you're saying. You have to also not put all these, no, it has to be like this and like this and like this.
Right.
And when it's standing right there in front of you, it's like you don't recognize it because you have all these preconceptions. So you do have to go where it's pulling you.
Yeah.
Without resistance.
Yep.
Without resistance. Okay, we have Tammy ready to come on the Okay, Tammy, you are on the air.
Hello, ladies. What an awesome show tonight. I look so forward to this book.
Oh, thank you.
And a quick question. You know, I've noticed that my system is just very acidic here lately, and I had spoke with Lavender about it, and she said that that was a good thing. Have you noticed that also in people that have been coming to you with the changes and shifts, that it's creating a more acidic system right now?
Actually, that is not something that I have noticed particularly, although I think that people are particularly acidic, although I would love to hear Lavendar's insights into that, because from a naturopathic perspective, it's not necessarily a good thing, and it can actually inhibit a lot of enzymatic activities and create different issues. So alkalinizing the body is one of the things that we work with naturopathically. So I'm interested, Lavendar, in your information on the positive aspect of that.
Well, I find that some of the star seeds, they have their DNA is such that when they go acid for a short period of time, that it seems to burn some of the the cell, it's a burn of energy that propels them to take their next step. You know, when they stay too alkaline, it makes them too placid. I mean, they just don't want to move. The acid somehow has some kind of energy that just moves you quickly. It's some kind of charge that happens. But I do agree that you should stay more alkaline. But there are times when to go acid for a week may be beneficial.
I will pay more attention to that. Thank you for drawing it to my attention.
And I would also, I have a request for all the Starseed audience tonight. I had a feeling this morning that our dear ladies from the Starseed that have just done so much for us all, they have really busted their piggy banks to do this trip this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of unexpected expenses, I'm sure, have come up in preparation and getting materials ready at the last minute. So I personally am going to pay it forward and send $100 tonight to support their trip. And I'm just putting it out there. If you feel this in your heart, and Lavendar and Ariel and Sierra sharing with us, if it's touched you as much as it has me in my life, I ask you to donate in the next 2 days and help support this trip for all that they do and all that they put out in the world, and so they can go down there and find and support more Starseed. And I'm so proud to be a part of this group and that you're going down to represent us.
Thank you so much,
and Ariel, could you can articulate better than me how to go about easily starting with a $25 donation, how they can just go on the website and do this for you?
Well, thank you so much, Tammy. You know,
please,
I mean, it's people like you that keep us coming back, because we really feel like, you know, we're getting more and more connected, and the group is growing, and just the wonderful, wonderful friends that we've met in the Starseed community. And, you know, you've been with us for a long time, and I so thank you for recognizing this time right now. All that anyone would need to do is just go on the website and order something, and then just put a little special note. You know, if you were ordering a confirmation, don't put any of your birth information. Just put special instructions that it's a gift or a donation or pay it forward or whatever. But you can just go right through the website, and it is so, so much appreciated.
And you are so much appreciated, everything that you do and all the information. I know many times I've just called and Lavendar's picked up the phone and just helped me, asking nothing in return. And so I encourage everyone to open up their pockets and their hearts and give in the next 2 days to help support you.
Thank you so much,
Tammy. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Beautiful.
Okay, well, we'll take lots of pictures. We're going to be taking lots of pictures, okay?
All right.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for going.
Thanks, Tammy. We love you.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Oh, well, she just really, she really touched my heart there.
That's beautiful.
Yes, well, we have Joseph coming on next. Joseph, you are on.
Yes.
Oh, hang on a second. Your mic was wanting to flip off just like Sierra did, but it's on now, so... You are on the air.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm so excited about meeting all of you in person. I mean, I'm already packing, ready to head down the road. We've had snow for the last 2 days here, but I'm not going to let that slow me down. So just know that I'm doing all I can to raise some funds as well for you. And I may come with a satchel full of money. I don't know how it's going to manifest, but it'll be such a joy to meet you all in person, and I just wanted to thank you. So every day I get more and more excited about it. So much love to you, and know that I'll see you on Friday.
Oh, that's so great, Joseph. It's so great. It's almost like we're going to have a family reunion at the same time as listening to all these wonderful, wonderful speakers and leaders of a new era. It's just going to be absolutely a magical time, and we're so happy that you're going to be there, Joseph.
I think this is an unprecedented opportunity, and I wouldn't miss it for anything.
Well, you are quite right, because Lavendar has never made a public appearance, so this is big. This is big. So we'll see you on Friday, Joseph.
You bet. Much love.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Wow. Okay, let me take a look. Okay, we've only got 41 minutes left, so I'm going to bring Kaylee on right now to talk about her Maui light activation. I just have to run down through the switchboard here, and where did she go? There you are. Hello, Kaylee. You are on the air.
Hi, Ariel. Hi, Lavendar.
Hello.
Hi, Starseed. I really appreciate these times that you're sharing with us all of this beautiful information from Cynthia. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Really So can you give us the thumbnail nutshell of your tour?
Yes, but I just wanted to take a moment to introduce myself, my background, because I am Starseed, I am Pleiadian, and I'm also Elven and Goddess. And the Elven have this huge history of helping planetary systems go through shifts in consciousness like we're doing right now. And that's sort of my mission, to be here to serve Mother Earth and humanity in this time. And I serve the Goddess Light. I express it, I am it, I live it from my time in Lemuria, from the Athena lineage and the Magdalen energy. And I was asked by my guides to create an opportunity for healing and to activate starseed and light workers to their chosen mission, because this shift is going so fast now. It's just light speed. It gets faster every day. And I've been doing a lot of events, working with different beings of light and so on, and it's always the same message, that it's time to move into love and to get ourselves focused and to get happening with what it is we're here to do. So what I'm doing with this tour is I'm taking people to a very sacred place, a mountain called Haleakala, which is on the island of Maui. And it was significant to the Lemurian energies. It's significant to the galactics. It's a place where a lot of energy shifts. And it's very popular with tourists for that reason, because they can somehow feel the energy and they know they need to be there. And we're going to be there on the Pleiadian lineup, which runs from May 16th to 18th or thereabouts. And we'll be on the mountain for the whole of that time, bathing in those frequencies. Now, I've called this tour light activation because that's what it's all about. And as well as the Pleiadians having their part to play, we'll also be working with our own Pleiadian craft assigned to us by the Bethlehem. And perhaps if you have other lineages, you'll have a different lineage craft. I don't know, but this is what I've been promised. So that's really pretty phenomenal. I'm hoping that we'll get to see them in the physical, but at the very least, we'll be able to interact with them telepathically. And to prepare for all of that, I have a goddess baptism ceremony happening, which is in the goddess light. It's always about letting go of who you think you've been and moving deeper into the knowing of yourself, and to activate the new process that's beginning, the new blueprint, the new codes, all of that kind of stuff. And we also have an activation by the dolphin light. And if you've ever been beamed by the dolphins like I have, you'll know what a special experience that is. It's absolutely profound. So in between all of that, we'll be having a great time in gorgeous scenery, visiting special places like crystalline black sand beaches, the island of Molokai. But most of all, we'll also be in service to Mother Earth, because I've known for a long time that I hold the space for an influx of love to come into Mother Earth's core. And that was one of the reasons for creating this trip. I really feel that with all of this stuff that's going on for her and within her, which we are all feeling, what a great thing it is to be able to just stand there and be conduits for this light to come into the earth, to stabilize and heal what needs it and to activate what needs it, so that we keep this shift rolling along in a very love focus. So that's going to happen in a special dawn ceremony. And if you'd like to have a great time with all of this and be activated with all of these incredible activations all in one tour, all at one time, come to my website and all the information is there. You need to register now because time's getting very short. The tour runs from May 12th to 21st in Maui. And my website is http://takeli.com/events for the information. So in the light of the goddess, as always, back to you, Ariel, and to Lavender. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Takeli. Okay. I would just like to tell you right now that the piece that I'm going to be doing is about 30 minutes, and we only have 35 left. So the show will continue, even if it's past the streaming point, it will be available in the archives. I can't extend the show any longer because we're already maxed out. So, Lavendar.
Is Cynthia still with us?
Yes.
I am.
Oh, Cynthia, thank you so much for being on tonight, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you this coming week. And we've really, and I hope that you come back and be our guest again.
I would love to, and I'm looking forward to seeing you, and thank you both, for all three of you, for having me tonight. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Back to you, Mario.
See you Friday.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, I would like to just jump right into this so that we have enough time. I've had so many starseed talk to me about having the same problem, and a lot of people are trying to change jobs, but they're afraid because of the financial situations, and they're having these pressures. So here is a piece that I recorded for you on how to manifest prosperity. So we're going to go right to it.
Since I've been hearing the same thing from many of our starseed family, I thought it was time to record a condensed crash course on how to manifest prosperity. Years ago, when I was a struggling, starving musician, I complained to Lavendar one day, "You can't light up the world if you can't pay your electric bill." I was half joking and half serious, but that observation had so many levels that it's kind of become a code for us. I understand all too well what it's like to make deals with utility companies and landlords and having to put things back at the grocery store. I didn't like having a PhD on survival, but I hated the thought of being part of the 40 hours a week corporate machine even more. Music has always been my passion, so I was constantly scrambling to find enough gigs to get through another month. Then two things happened within days of each other and changed all of that forever. A friend of mine had given me a cassette tape of Esther Hicks channeling Abraham's teachings on manifestation. There was something about it that was so clear, so succinctly put, that it resonated with me completely. I listened to it over and over again, trying to brainwash myself, but it wasn't until the second thing happened that it clicked. Many of you may be familiar with Abraham's teachings, but over the years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have done so many workshops with so much to offer that there may be some pieces you're missing if you find that you still have financial challenges. So my goal with this recording is to take all the bits and pieces that I've found to be very useful tools and exercises and put them all together in a nice, neat little package for you. And I'll add it to our vault of knowledge in MP3 form, so you can listen to it over and over if you need to, until that click happens to you. The basic and most important concept to understand is that we are all vibrational beings. I know this isn't news, but that's the basis. Every second of every day, your thoughts and emotions exist as a definable vibration with a specific frequency. In essence, you're a radio tower broadcasting nonstop to the universe. The law of attraction is always at work, always in motion, and so is the universe. If you want to understand the quantum physics of this, I suggest watching two movies called What the Bleep Do We Know and The Secret. The beauty of the law of attraction is that it is absolute. It's a universal constant. It works for everyone in the same way, for better or for worse, and you can count on it. The universe is always sending you a match for your emotional, vibrational frequency. The key word here is emotional. It's the feeling you project that carries the power. You can make positive affirmations all day long, but if you still feel poor, you're wasting your time. You're not going to get ahead. Now, don't get me wrong, positive affirmations are very important, but only if you don't cancel them with your emotional state. The perfect illustration of this is the second thing that happened that week that really made it click for me. I've been listening to the tapes, trying to do the exercises and refine my manifestation skills, but it seemed like I wasn't doing something right. Then something happened, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was a Tuesday afternoon, and of course, musicians never work during the day, so I had gone to the barn to ride my horse, Avatar, who is the galactic horse that you may have heard about on our radio show. I owned his mother before him and took him out of the bag the night he was born, and I was and am committed to his care for the rest of his life. But it was a struggle to feed him and keep shoes on his feet, just the way, the same as any other child. So I often went without so I could feed him. I'm telling you this so you can understand my perception of reality at that time. I saddled him up with my third hand English saddle and bridle, my leather chaps and gloves, which had been a Christmas present, and set off for my pleasure ride in the woods. And in order to get back to the barn, we had to walk alongside the road for about 50 yards, and in that short distance is when it happened. A really beat-up old car filled with Mexicans was passing by us. I glanced over because the car was making so much noise, and I made direct eye contact with one of them, and I could read her thoughts. Look at that rich American, not even working on a Tuesday afternoon, horseback riding in that fancy outfit. As my consciousness melded with hers in that split second, I saw myself through her eyes, through her reality. I had a shot of adrenaline rush through my consciousness that dissolved my old concepts of my financial position in life. My first thought was, I must be rich because only rich people have horses, and I have a car that I don't have to share. You probably heard the saying that reality is only a matter of perception, but seeing it and commanding it are two different things. So let's get into commanding prosperity perception. Would you rather wish and hope for prosperity, or would you rather command it? There's a whole different frequency between hoping and deciding. Hope allows for failure, incompletion, and disappointment. Hoping also takes it out of your hands. Deciding to create gives the power to you. So the first thing you have to do is simply decide to create prosperity. The energy has shifted already. Now these are some exercises that I've learned from Abraham's teachings over the years, plus a couple of techniques that I really don't remember where they came from, only that they work. The first thing you need to do is pay attention to your solar plexus, which is the chakra center in your stomach. It is your inner guidance telling you whether or not something is in alignment with your desires, or your mission for that matter. The next thing you have to do is decide what it is that you desire to create deliberately. The spoken word and the written word both have great power, and the written word helps bring it into the third dimension. So make a list and write it down, and be very, very specific. I know you're already starting to put those big things down on the list as if you were a first-year piano student wanting to start with Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. But we have to start with something you don't have a huge emotional attachment to because you have so much energy built up around the big things. You first have to prove to yourself that you can do it. Abraham teaches us to hold the pure vibration of what it is that you're wanting for 17 seconds. I started with feathers because I like feathers, and I don't have any emotional investment in attaining them. You can choose anything from your everyday environment. Some people choose blue glass, others choose butterflies, particular birds, coins on the ground, good parking spots. Anything, as long as you have no emotional investment in it, and it's a common object in your vicinity. The next step is finding the vibration of joy of having that object. The beauty of this part is that the universe doesn't know the difference between pretending, reminiscing, or actually having. All it knows is the vibrational frequency you transmit. Search your memory for any moment in your life where you felt such gratitude that it brought tears to your eyes. When you felt such joy that your stomach was tingling. That's the sensation that must accompany the image in your mind for a minimum of 17 seconds. You must hold that pure frequency. For 17 seconds, you have to be the joy of having that which you desire. Abraham says that 17 seconds of a pure frequency is equal to 200 man or woman hours of physical work towards that desire. A continuous 30 seconds would be 2,000 hours. 68 seconds would be 20,000 hours. You don't have to break your back and work yourself to the bone. You just need to find the frequency of joy and gratitude, hook it to that which you desire, and hold it for a minimum of 17 seconds. Don't allow any other thought into your mind or any other feeling into your heart while you are doing your 17 seconds. It has to be the pure vibration of gratitude for having that which you desire. It says in the Bible to pray for a thing as if you already have it and give thanks. After you've planted your first manifestational seed, the next step is allowing it to develop and grow and to come to you. You can't run outside the next day and dig up to see if it's sprouting roots. The moment you observe that it doesn't have roots yet, you've canceled yourself. But you can always start over. When you get into the car to go to the grocery store, you don't call ahead to make sure they're open. You absolutely know they're open and get in the car without any doubts. It's kind of like that. So now you've decided to manifest some common everyday thing as your first exercise. Like I said before, I chose feathers. I thought about how pretty they were and how they represented birds in flight and freedom, the pretty colors and how delicate they are. I thought of holding one in my hand and I gave thanks from the core of my being for this precious thing. I called up so much gratitude that my eyes started welling up with tears of joy. A few days later, I was walking my dog and I was barely out of my driveway when I looked down and saw a feather on the ground. My heart jumped when I saw it, and when I picked it up, I relived my 17 seconds, only this time with even more joy and gratitude. Every time I found a feather, and whenever I happened to think of it during the day, I did another 17 seconds for my feathers. Within a few weeks, I had to decide what to do with all these feathers. So I went and got a styrofoam ball and started sticking them in. Then I decided that I liked the blue jay feathers the best. And now my 17 seconds was all about blue jay feathers. I was just tickled when I started finding only blue jay feathers, and I was walking in the same neighborhood. So after my styrofoam ball didn't have any more room for feathers, I decided on butterflies because I wouldn't have to bring them back home. I used the exact same process, only now I focused on how much I love butterflies, and I hooked it with that emotion of gratitude. I started seeing butterflies wherever I went, and I was careful to allow them to be my butterflies. One fleeting thought of that butterfly would have been here anyway would have canceled my manifestation. Another thing I noticed is that attracting butterflies into my reality happened more quickly than the feathers, probably because I was getting better at holding the pure vibration for more than 17 seconds. I'll never forget the day I was walking my dog. I was no more than a block from my house when I noticed a few butterflies and I smiled. But by the time I reached the end of the block, I was being swarmed with dozens of butterflies all around me, and they followed me. By this time, I was giggling with gratitude. What next? Hummingbirds. That's it. Hummingbirds. So I went out and got a little hummingbird feeder and hung it outside where I could see it from inside the house. I did my 17 seconds, and I thought of seeing a hummingbird with joy in my heart, and I waited. After having such quick success with feathers and butterflies, I fully expected to see a hummingbird almost immediately. But every time I'd look out the window, there was no hummingbird. What I didn't realize at the time was that every time I observed they're not here yet, I was canceling myself. I tried for 2 months, and I kept canceling myself. I did it before, so where are my birds? When I realized I wasn't allowing hummingbirds into my reality by observing their absence, I decided to try something a little different. I went out to my hummingbird feeder and cupped my hands around it and did my 17 seconds or more and imagined how it would feel when I saw my first visitor to the feeder. When I walked back into the house, the phone rang, and before that conversation was over, I saw the most precious little hummingbird at my feeder. Again, the feeling of joy and gratitude in that moment is one I'll never forget. I have three more exercises to tell you about, but first I want to quote Abraham. Nothing is as important than that you feel good. When you catch yourself thinking a negative thought, it's the perfect opportunity to pivot that energy and think about something that makes you feel good. The goal is to be feeling good at least 55% of the time. The best way to accomplish that is through what Abraham calls segment intending. This is when you break your day down into small segments and only focus on the task at hand. For example, if you have to go to the grocery store, intend to have a safe and relaxing drive there. Find a great parking space and all the delicious food you'll be bringing home. Be grateful for having a car, for being able to walk through the grocery store, and being able to buy your food. Don't allow thoughts like, I only have a limited amount of money for food, because that's not the seed you want to plant. Each segment of your day is an opportunity to change your perception and therefore your reality. One of my favorite exercises is taking 50 $1 bills, folding them in half, and putting them in my top shirt pocket before I go to Walmart. When you fold them in half, it looks like a really big wad of money. I don't allow myself to think it's only $50. I keep looking down at my pocket, bulging with money, and thinking, I have a big wad of money in my pocket. I stroll through Walmart, just browsing through the aisles, looking at anything that catches my eye, and I say to myself, I could buy that if I wanted it. I just don't want it right now. When I make that statement, I go to my feeling of joy and gratitude, and as far as the universe is concerned, emotionally, I spent thousands of dollars that day. It doesn't matter that the $50 never came out of my pocket. It only matters that you transmitted the frequency of prosperity and allowed the universe to deliver your abundance, because it always gives you more of what you're focused on. Unexpected cash is a great seed to plant. So anytime you see a penny on the ground, pick it up and give 17 seconds of thanks for the unexpected cash. If you look at it and say, oh, it's only a penny, I'm not bending over. Energetically, you've told the universe that you don't want the money. Now, after you decide on what it is that you're wanting, make a list and write it down. Start with the smaller things, like the feathers or whatever you choose, and do your 17 seconds or more. When you see that thing come into your life, move on to the next. Then pay attention to the feeling in your solar plexus or stomach area. If it feels tight or uncomfortable, then what you are thinking or doing at that moment is not in alignment with your manifestational desires. It's the perfect opportunity to pivot that energy back to the frequency of abundance and gratitude. Starseed people carry a lot of power, and if you don't know how to focus it on what you want, you can bring more of what you don't want faster than non-starseed. Even though my focus here is on prosperity, this process works for health, careers, and even relationships. But I have to caution you that you must never interfere with anyone's free will. You can use it to attract a mate, but don't name any names, and be very, very, very specific with the qualities that you're seeking in a relationship. The next technique I call the magic checkbook. I happened to have an old batch of checks that had been misprinted, so so I used them for this exercise. But when those were gone, I scanned one of my normal checks and made several copies. You don't really have to go through all that trouble, but the idea is to make it feel as real as possible. Do the same thing with your check register. The overall idea is to make imaginary deposits and write checks for everything you want to manifest. You can customize this to fit your own experience, but think about the most amount of money you've ever made in a day when you came home feeling victorious. You know how that feels because you've already seen it. That's the amount of money you should write as a deposit in your check register every day. Then start spending it, writing the checks for whatever you want, but don't think limiting thoughts like, I better save some. Just keep depositing and keep spending, feeling joy and gratitude with every check. Take all the checks you've written and put them in a little treasure box of some kind and keep it closed to hold the energy of unlimited abundance. It takes about 30 days to override past negativity and programming and replace it with the pure vibration of 17 seconds of gratitude for your abundance. I can't stress enough how powerful your words are. It's essential to police your thoughts and keep your transmitter on the frequency that's aligned with your desires, but it's absolutely imperative that you never utter words of shortage or lack to anyone. Don't give your attention to circumstances that you're trying to end. The law of attraction never sleeps, and the universe is always working to bring you what you're focused on. Remember that you are made in the image of the Creator. And even though you might be just a tiny spark of that source, you have the power to create the universe you live in, whether it's by default or by deliberate creation. Even more powerful than the spoken word is the written word. This last technique is called scripting or journaling. It's the diary of your future, however you wish it to unfold. Each day, just for a minute or two, write in your journal about a day you're having in the future. You're actually writing the script that you wish to experience. Always write in the present or past tense, because writing or saying things like I will, or someday, or my new job will be wonderful, that keeps it in the future and out of your present. Listen to the energy in these two statements. I'm going to be getting a wonderful new job, doing what I love, and I'm going to make a lot of money. I just got home from my first day at my new workplace, and I really loved the feeling of helping all those people. My coworkers were so supportive and kind, and I'm making twice as much money as I did before. I am so grateful to be living my dream. Always write your future script as if it's already happened, and describe how that makes you feel. So, just to sum up, practice your manifestation with objects that you have no emotional investment in attaining. Pick a moment from your past when you held the highest joy, the most gratitude, the most money, or the greatest happiness, and go to that frequency. Relive it with all your heart. As soon as you're there, bring the image into your mind of that which you have decided to attract and hold that pure frequency for a minimum of 17 seconds. Then you must allow it to come and know that it must come because the law of attraction is absolute. Employ your segment intending as you go through your day to help you reset your thought patterns, giving focus to the gratitude you feel for all that you've been taking for granted. Get as many $1 bills as you can and keep your pocket or your wallet or your change purse stuffed so that each time you look at it, you tell yourself, I've got a big wad of money. You can also keep it in a drawer so that anytime you want, you can go look at a big pile of money, never allowing the amount to enter your thoughts. Create your magic checkbook and make your deposits every day and continue to write checks. Don't let the money pile up. You need to keep the flow in and out. Police your thoughts and words for canceling and limiting energy at least 55% of the time, and start writing the script of your future. You might want to check out the Abraham Hicks website, which is Abraham-Hicks.com, and watch the movies The Secret and What the Bleep Do We Know. You have so much power, and you were born with so many gifts. It's like being born with a pair of six guns and a couple phasers and photon torpedoes and a sword, too. But you're letting the third dimension beat you over the head with a stick. Suffering was not part of the deal here. So practice your manifestational skills until you can finally pay the light bill and light up the world.
Well, I hope that you listen to that over and over again. Like I said, I will put it in the Vault of Knowledge. It's not there yet. But I promise that if you keep practicing that, it does work. So, Lavendar, we've got about 10 minutes left.
Well, I love that, Ariel. I hadn't had it. You sent that to me, and I've been so busy, haven't had a chance to listen to it. I'm glad I waited to hear it tonight. Oh, wow. I am just so proud of you. That was terrific. I hope that everyone that listened to it got a new flavor of what you're about, because you are one powerful individual, and I'm so happy that you're part of my life. And you're the one that really put Starseed Hotline together, and it's because of you that all of these listeners are listening tonight. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lavendar. You know how much I love you, and it just, you know, Starseed Hotline was a manifestation, and we continue to just crank it higher. It's a spiral, and it, all the people that are involved are part of that spiral. So tap into the energy and run with it.
Right. Do we have any other callers?
We do have a couple, and one of them is our dear Doc Belva. I know she's here somewhere. Where was she? Here we are. Hello, Belva. You are on the air. How are you tonight?
I'm terrific, and I absolutely loved what you just said.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
I was so excited over what Colin shared with us last week, and Cynthia was fantastic. And the one thing I wanted to add in my experience was in putting out what you want, if you learn to love the things that happen to you, to look at each thing as a lesson. When I was 5 and I was paralyzed, they said I would be dead when I was 12 in a wheelchair. I knew that I was not here for that. I was here to heal, and I learned to heal, and that was a blessing. The cancer was a blessing. Every single thing I've ever had or experienced, I looked on with love and as a lesson, rather than a hardship. So if you can take those things and turn them around from being a hardship into a lesson of love and a blessing, because you meet new people, you meet people that care about you and help you, and you're putting out the same things that you were talking about in your life because you're happy every day knowing that good things are coming, and it's always something to teach you something so that you learn more and know how to handle your life in the very next few days or the next year or the next week or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful, and what you just got through sharing with everyone was absolutely empowering. It was wonderful. And
well,
I want
you
girls to have a great time on the weekends.
Oh, we are, and I'm so looking forward to actually meeting Colin and Cynthia. Just what a dynamic pair they are, the dynamic duo. And Belva, thank you so much. You know we love you, and it's always good to hear from you. So I have a couple more calls that I'm going to try to squeeze
right
in. We only have just a couple minutes left. So
love
thanks, Belva.
You.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's see. We have, we're going to talk to Georgia. Hello, Georgia. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hello. We only have a couple minutes, so.
Okay, I wanted to thank you on that prosperity. Those were things that I had always practiced, but I had totally forgotten about so much of it because of being so involved with my left brain activities that it was great to have a reminder on prosperity.
Well, good. I'm glad it was timely for you. And, you know, it's not new information, and certainly I have to say that it was Abraham Hicks through Esther Hicks where I first learned those concepts. But like I said, I've added to them over the years, and it always works, you know. And if you can't, if you forget about it or you don't have success with one thing, you can always keep refining your skill, and it, once you get it refined, it always works, and that is the beauty of it. The law of attraction is absolute. So, Georgia, thank you for calling in, and I'm glad that that helps you.
You are welcome, and I wanted to say hi to Lavendar and thank her for everything.
I know she's. I think her mic is muted right now, but.
Oh, okay.
But I know she heard you. Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much, Georgia. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, let me check their time. We only have 4 minutes, and I need two of those to wrap up the show. So I'm going to pick up for Tricia. Tricia, you've got 2 minutes, girl.
Okay. Hello. This is I love the show. I love everything about it. Just two really quick things. I did the manifestation thing that you're talking about with Abraham for many years. I mean, I listened to it, nothing, until I worked out my stop signs, okay? And this was the most important thing, was that when you hold a stop sign in your energy of somebody that's done something to you about money, you're a musician. I supported a man for 8 years, paid for everything in a studio, recorded hundreds of songs, equipment, whatever. Many years later, I asked him when I had $13 to lend me money. He said no. I held that in my heart, the hate that he turned me down. I lent his mother money. I lent him money. I lent everybody money. I carried that for so many years that once I let go of that stop sign and I went back to, wow, those 8 years, I never knew how to play an instrument. I recorded songs. I had publishing deals in Japan. I made a ton of money with him during a period of time through music. But I held that as a stop sign. I had three of them. When I released those three stop signs, I manifested from $13 to $10,000 within 3 days and went up to the hundreds within less than 3 months. It's all about what you hold in your energy of the money that actually was my stop sign.
Right. You're so right. Yeah. And it is changing that perception of reality that was the second key for me, because
Absolutely. Doing
all the exercises is fine. But if emotionally you feel poor or you feel down on your luck, that is a stop sign. So thank you for pointing that out. And thank you for joining us every week, Tricia. We know
you're welcome.
Part of our family.
I only want 2 seconds here. I got hit with a blast of energy the other day on Wednesday night that was so huge. I saw vortexes. I saw boxes. I had sonic booms going on. I had portals turning up with all different vibrations coming at me that I actually had to kind of put the stop sign on it instead of going with it. But I'm open for it next time because I've done it before when this power, but I tell you, there's power on this planet right now that's huge. But anyway, love and light to everybody.
Thank you so much, Tricia.
Oh, you're very welcome. Bye.
Okay. Well, Lavendar, we've got 90 seconds, and I just want to say that we are so looking forward to this trip, and we certainly appreciate so deeply the sponsorship that the community has come together so that we could get all the things together that we needed to get together to do this at the last minute, and it's going to be wonderful. So Lavendar and Sierra, let me get Sierra on the line here. Sierra?
Yes.
Sierra, you're on the air with Lavendar and I, and we just want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back next Tuesday at 7 at our regular time, 7 Eastern.
Probably with a report about the week.
Completely. We're going to have a lot of great things, and I know that something really big is going to happen. I don't know what it is, but I can't wait to find it out. Okay.
Looking forward to seeing all of our Starseed family there.
Yeah, right.
Yes. If you live anywhere around the Southwest and you can make it to Albuquerque, please come and see us, meet Cynthia and Colin and all the other wonderful speakers. Richard Dolan's going to be there. And if you need any help or questions, remember Nancy's number is 630-941-6816. And we are saying goodbye until next week, and we'll see you then. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.